All right. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for coming today, and thank you for having me on this panel. Today, I'm going to be talking about engaging funders in healthy land use. So, as you can see by the title of my presentation, it's a little bit different than the other presentations, but I will be touching on the economic impacts of healthy land use, and I think that the information that I'll present will touch on return on investment. As anybody here knows who's looked for funding in the past, when you put the time and effort into developing a relationship with a funder, usually there's a pretty good return on investment. So today I'll be talking about some key themes that emerge from a meeting that I organized for the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation in cooperation with the Annenberg Foundation. And this was a meeting of Southern California grantmakers who came together to talk about how funders can support healthy land use. Some of these funders were funders that are very engaged in health and land use. Other funders really had nothing to do with these areas and were really new to all of this information. For the purposes of my discussion today, I'm going to define healthy land use as land use that promotes access to physical activity and healthy food. So it's sort of a narrow slice of healthy land use. I don't have anything to disclose other than the fact that I have a terrible cough, and I'm hoping that I can get through this presentation without coughing. I have some cough drops with me, so bear with me if I have to start sucking on one of those as I present. So first off, we talked with the foundations about how we could start to interest them in the topic of healthy land use. And what the foundations told us is that we really needed to find commonalities with the issues and topics that were really in their mission or core to their funding portfolios. And so one of the really core missions of many, many philanthropies is to build strong, vibrant communities in the places that they fund. And in order to build these strong, vibrant communities, there are a number of activities that foundations support. And those include identifying assets and gaps to identify and define needs, engaging policy decision makers, community leaders, and then developing leadership on a particular issue or topic. And to promote healthy land use, all of these activities need to happen as well. So right there, there was a commonality with funders who didn't do land use and those that did in the types of strategies they employ in communities. The funders we talked with who were not experienced in healthy land use really wanted to hear about examples of how healthy land use was working to promote community development and improve communities. And so there are a few examples I'd like to share with you. First of all, when residents in a community work to transform a vacant property into a park or a community garden, they are making a very visible change in their community, decreasing blight and increasing community pride and community ownership. Land use projects also bring together community-based organizations with government agencies, with academic institutions to partner to bring expertise as well as in-depth local community knowledge to a project to assure its success. Land use projects have also produced toolkits and materials that can disseminate successful models or best practices. So, for instance, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation funded the development of a toolkit on creating parklets. Parklets are very small parks that are often made out of one parking space, so it's repurposing street area as a space where community can gather, sometimes where community can do physical activity. Often it helps to beautify a neighborhood. And this toolkit help to disseminate these very specific and actionable how-tos to other low-income communities so that they would be able to institute the parklet model themselves. And then finally, we've seen that funding around healthy land use can really promote collaboration among organizations who've been working individually, but who come together and really can have a greater collective impact than any one organization could have on its own, particularly when they develop a shared policy agenda and work together to make progress on that agenda. So in terms of some of the specific community development outcomes that healthy land use projects have achieved, they've created opportunities for social interaction, contact with green space or nature, and physical activity. So this can come from something like a park or a community garden. Parks and community gardens, again, can help with the environment, green the environment, protect the environment. They reduce blight in communities, particularly in low-income urban communities, and they enhance community safety. So again, when a park or a community garden is built, people from the neighborhoods come out of their apartments, use this public space, there's more eyes and bodies on the street, and there's a much greater sense of safety. These projects can also create job training opportunities. So here we get into a few of the economic impacts. When a park is built, there are opportunities for youth to be trained around construction, landscaping, park maintenance. When we're talking about land use for healthy food access, again, there are other job training opportunities. Farming, food production, food wholesaling and retailing. And then there can also be the creation of new jobs if, let's say, micro-businesses can be open, selling the produce grown in a community market, and new small businesses. Healthy land use projects also increase patronage to existing businesses. Again, when a park is built, it increases foot traffic in a neighborhood and increases folks going into the local businesses that are existing in the neighborhood. And then finally, there's research that creating parks in low-income neighborhoods actually increases property values. Again, removes blight, increases a sense of safety, it's a community beautification process. So all of these help to increase local property values. So once we talked with funders about what land use and healthy land use can accomplish, what it can do around community development, we talked with the funders about what their specific role would be in supporting healthy land use. And the funders really identified two buckets of activity for philanthropy: direct funding and then indirect support. So direct funding is what everybody knows that foundations do: making grants, giving organizations money to do projects. And for healthy land use, there are a number of categories where this funding can have the most impact. So around policy, really facilitating healthy land use through policy. So as many of you, I'm sure, know, foundations can't support active advocacy for legislation, but there's a lot that they can support around policy. Educating decision makers, helping groups come together to set policy agendas, and generally supporting the promotion of a variety of policy strategies that really lead to long-term changes in healthy land use and sustainability for land use projects. Funders can also provide money, resources, to projects that are going to make those concrete changes on the ground. So in terms of parks, developing, restoring, maintaining parks, assuring that parks serve community needs, enhance that ability to do physical activity. And in terms of healthy food access, creating outlets for healthy food, whether that's farmers markets or produce stands or even local store conversions, and then job training around growing food, producing food, and selling it. And then, as I mentioned, funders can support the dissemination of best practices through providing funds for the creation and dissemination of toolkits and other materials. in terms of indirect support. So these are activities that funders can do without giving out money. These are often activities that funders do with internal resources that they have in-house. Some examples here include advancing policy. So funders, whether it's foundation staff, board members, or in the case of family foundations, the family members themselves, are often community leaders who are very well connected in the community, both with policymakers, other community leaders, decision makers. And through informal conversations with these other leaders, they can promote healthy land use strategies and their efficacy in community development. Funders can also support replicability. They can do this by making visible best practices and successful pilot programs. And again, they can do this in ways where they use their internal resources. So they can post case studies and best practices on their websites or feature them in newsletters. They can also promote them when they're talking to their peers in the philanthropic sector. They can help to build capacity for healthy land use work. And this can be both with individual community residents as well as organizations. Many foundations provide technical assistance or training around a variety of organizational capacities. Leadership training, financial planning, strategic planning. And all of these types of technical assistance can be very helpful to organizations and residents working on healthy land use. Foundations can also help to build bridges. And it's very helpful when there's a grassroots community group that has a specific healthy land use project. Say they want to get a park on a specific plot of vacant land. And there's other land use initiatives going on in the region or the state. Foundations are often hooked into these various larger groups and can connect the local grassroots to the larger regional or statewide policy efforts so that the local groups can, again, benefit from some more advanced expertise, some materials, learning best practices, et cetera. And then finally, foundations can encourage collaboration. Foundations, again, are well connected in the communities they fund in, not only with their grantees, but with a variety of organizations. And foundations can help to bring all of these folks together by hosting meetings or making introductions in a less formal way. So to really maximize the impact of funder engagement in healthy land use, there's also a number of things that foundations can do internally within the philanthropic sector. So first, foundations and funders can communicate with each other. They can share lists of grantees working on healthy land use. They can share a calendar of meetings around healthy land use to make sure that all of the funders in the area have an understanding of who's working on what and when folks are getting together to talk about things. The next one, co-funding projects, is a really important one. So funders often, especially if they're getting into a new area, are nervous and somewhat risk-averse. So by co-funding projects, funders are able to invest smaller amounts of money, have less risk, yet at the same time increase the overall pool of resources that are available for healthy land use. And then finally, funders can really work on educating both themselves and the public, again, by using their own internal communications, whether it's social media, more traditional newsletters, but to really demonstrate the benefits of healthy land use and to promote these best practices and success stories. So to wrap up, healthy land use is really uniquely positioned to be a strategy that meets a variety of philanthropic interests, from economic development to civic engagement to community beautification. And working with funding partners really leverages relationships, especially those relationships that funders have with decision makers. It can leverage existing programs by connecting various grantees together, or connecting grantees with other organizations working on similar strategies, and it maximizes the program resources. So I hope that this has been a useful presentation for you. Although it focused on healthy land use, I think a number of the lessons we learned in our Southern California grantmaker meeting can apply to a number of topics and hopefully increase your return on investment in your interactions with funders. Thank you.